while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I want to speak on the subject, who is a true biblical disciple of Christ? Who is a true, so I'm picking my words carefully, true. Tell your neighbor, true. Okay, comma. Biblical. Because these days everybody has their own truth. So our truth is the Bible. The standard we're using today to define who a true disciple is the Bible. Okay, so who is a true biblical disciple of Jesus Christ? Thank you for the prayer, Pastor Deji. We are living in an age of false teachers, false conversions, false discipleship, and false churches. Like it or not, Paul prophesied to see he was in prison. He's writing to his spiritual son, Timothy's son in the Lord, and he's leaving the final instruction. This is like a transition. Timothy is about 30, young guy. Paul is just about to sign out, you know. And, you know, these are like final instructions. And you can tell from the books of Timothy that he's discipling Timothy. Real discipleship is a ministry. It's a relationship. It's an ongoing impartation of truth that is progressive. So you can tell, and in his speaking to him, he mentions his concerns. And one of the concerns is that many false teachers will rise. Now, the scripture says, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is the one who knows. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will make it to heaven. Many, Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 to 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? So these are people who have prophetic gifts. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. So there are people who, how do you get a prophetic gift? You know, so basically, it's assumed that you're a believer, right? Unless, of course, you're a prophet lying, which is, you know, lying prophecies and stuff. So the scripture also says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for a time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. So these are instructions. Paul he's talking to Timothy, he's discipling him, and he's telling him that there's going to be many false teachers. So people who hear false gospel, another Jesus, and these are all biblical terms. Another gospel, there's a scripture to that, another Jesus. It's also in the Bible, another Jesus. So if you get converted listening to a false teacher preaching a false gospel, presenting another Jesus, you are a false convert. And so we have an epidemic of false conversions. I'm so particular about this that I've had to go back and study the process of salvation. And I've had to interview people who say they are saved and ask them, what does it mean to be saved? And it will shock you. I just came from Africa where I was speaking in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International meetings. And I stood there and I said, how many people are saved? And raised their hands. I said, how many years have you been saved? And then I said, can you explain the process of being saved? And people could not. So it begs another question. You're saved, but you don't know what it means to be saved. You can't explain what it means to be saved. So how can you be a lawyer and can't help anyone in court? How about a doctor who doesn't know how to operate? Would you trust a doctor who does not know what to do in the operating theater, and they say, Dr. Rick will be operating today? And you ask him, doctor, so what are you going to do? And he's not able to explain. That is what we are faced with today. And you can test it. You can ask your neighbor beside you, are you saved? And then you can ask them, can you explain the process of salvation? What does it mean to be saved? What scripture can I stand on? How do I know I am saved? I want to challenge you, because not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So in the words of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, he said, Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The Amplified Version says, therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms the relationship with God. Tap your neighbor and say, you better be sure, man. Look, give them eyeball. Eyeball your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you better be sure. That's the wrong neighbor. Find a better neighbor. Say, turn to someone else. Say, neighbor number two. I'm saying be sure. Nah, I don't like this neighbor. Find number three, someone you haven't spoken to yet, and say, neighbor number three. I'm saying, point your little finger in the face. I'm telling you right now, you better be sure that you're saved. Why discipleship? Because that is exactly what Jesus did. When Jesus came, what he did was he called disciples, 12 of them. That's why discipleship is critical. This is not optional. It's not something that, well, let me give it a try. That's what Jesus did. That's why discipleship is critical. Jesus says in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Why discipleship? Because after Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, now you would think, after all they did to him, you know, put nails in his hands and jammed him to that wooden cross and, you know, spat in his face and pierced him and everything, and he's just counting, you know, countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7. He wants to just give up the ghost and say it's finished, right? And then finally it's finished. 3 days, he's back. If it were me, I'm gonna hurry up and go to heaven. You know what I'm saying? What am I gonna do here? You know, like, I left heaven, left all the glory, the streets of gold. I mean, I'm the king of heaven. And these people treated me like, you know what I mean? And I'm done. Assignment completed. No, he stays 40 days. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. 40 days Jesus Christ stays. And guess what he's doing? He's discipling the disciples. Discipleship class for the disciples. 40-day course. He spends his time opening their eyes, telling them, these are the things that were written about me. This is why it happened like this. Now, I'm Ghanaian. You know, I'm African. And, you know, with me, if you kill me unjustly, and I get to come back. Shatala Bahata. Who we visit first? Pilate. I'm going to stand outside the court and go, yo, Pilate, you but I'm going to go with angels. You know, one of them said, if you're the Son of God, command angels. I'm coming with them now. One whole legion. And I'll tell them, don't stand. You know, just suspend. Then flap your wings behind me, you know. And I'm standing there, and we go to Caiaphas, the high priest who convened the kangaroo court at dawn because it's Passover, and Passover, they can't do anything. So he has to do it before Passover. So quickly, and they get false witnesses. I'm going to Caiaphas, man. He should have believed in me. Here I am. Here I is. Judas. Judas is in hell. We're going there. I'm the king of life. I'm the king of heaven. I have the keys to death and life and heaven and hell and Hades. Go to Judas and then wake him from his sleep. Judas. Yo. Judas. And I'm going with the other apostles that stuck with me. No, Judas should have believed in me. You know, that's my African self. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, I won't hurt you anything. I'm Jesus. I have to, you know, but you know. It's a tiny bit, and then after I give you salvation or something like that. No. Jesus Christ does not spend 1 minute, 1 second with who left him, who didn't support him, who rejected him. Like some Christians spend so much energy on who left you, who rejected you, who's not supporting you. And some Christians spend time. I come into this church and all of you are praying for the world. Pastor JD, God bless you. You know, I've been in the charismatic system for 3 decades. And I call it a system, because that's what it is. You know, praying for the world. First question, have we finished praying for ourselves? And we're going to pray for the world. What are you talking about? I need some cash. You know, pray for me. If you have an anointing, send it this way first. You know, yeah. But Jesus Christ does not waste time on his enemies. He spends time in discipleship. Discipling, spends time with them, restoring Peter. Peter denies him 3 times. 3 times he asks Peter, do you love me? It's reversing every single time that he denied him. And then he goes to Thomas. He enters, Thomas is not there. And then Thomas comes back. They tell Thomas, Jesus is here. He says, nah, damn, you guys know. You guys are still, you know, all that happened, you know. And so next time Thomas is there, Jesus comes just for Thomas. He spends time with those who are part of his assignment, his future, not those who are part of his past. Is somebody getting anything out of this? Say, I hear you, I hear you. What is he doing? Discipleship. So the first reason why discipleship is critical, it's not optional, is because Jesus Christ, that's what he did. He came here and his first thing was to appoint disciples. And then he left, came back, and then the next thing he did was to spend time to disciple the disciples properly. And then the last reason is his last words. So now he's come. Now he's discipled them again, reorientation, refresher course. And now he's standing there at the Mount of Ascension. He's ready to go. And guess what his last words are? Go and make disciples. Tell your neighbor, this is serious. Last words. And then he goes. Last words. People remember people by their last words. Final instruction. Go and make disciples. Then he leaves. So who is a true disciple? I'm going to give you 6. I'm hoping that time will permit me to give you 6 definitions of who a true disciple is, and I'm basing it on the scripture. So scripture number 1, question, who is a true biblical disciple of Jesus Christ? you know, that's question number one. Same question, all six numbers, same question, but different angles. So defining it. All right. So my scripture number one to define who a true biblical disciple is, and I encourage you, you know, if you can, write something down. You know, these days we have all these gizmos and, you know, they can record stuff, you know, just, you know, take me home with you. Take the sermon home. Take the word of God home. All right. So first one, John chapter 3, verse 3 to 6, the words of Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asked, verse 4, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So definition number one, who is a true Bible? The Bible is our standard. Biblical disciple. This is how you know. This is how you test it. Okay? If there was a thermometer or disciplometer to test who a disciple is, okay? This, so the word of God, that's your disciplometer. Okay? All right. So we are tested right now. You must be born again. You must be born again by the Spirit, comma, born of water, so simply changed inside by the word of God, the water of the word, and then no longer living by the flesh, but by the Spirit. That's a disciple. And this is just part one of six. So turn to your neighbor and say, we're getting there, so we just started. Are you born again? Are you filled with the Spirit? You know, this is the disciplometer right now. You know, check with your neighbor. You know, you're born again. Accept. The word accept. Accept means this has to happen. This is point one. No born again, no disciple. The problem I have with this part is, there are many people who, like I said, don't know the process of salvation. They don't know what justification is, which is you're justified from the penalty of sin. You have to know that. That's the call to be saved. The first point is justification. There are many believers who don't know what justification is, but they are believers. You must know. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. Approval comes from study. You have to study. It's not about Bible school. I have not set foot in one Bible school in my entire life. You have to study. You have to be a student of the word. You have to educate yourself in what Christ left for us. So every person who is saved is first justified. Justified from what? From the penalty of sin. That is how you know that you're saved. Okay, and then step number two is sanctification. It's a continuous process. You're being sanctified from the power of sin. You have to know. Ask your neighbor, did you know that? Did you know that? Give them an honest answer. Did you know that? Sanctification. Ask him, do you know it's a process? Daily sanctification. Paul said, I die daily. Every day you have to die all over again. Push your hand and say, you're still alive. I can see that you're still alive. You got to die. Die to sin. Die to the flesh. Die to the world. True disciple. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Are you here?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. It's easy to be here and at the lunch table after service. So I just needed to check. Number two. So first definition of disciple, I want everybody to repeat with me. A true disciple is one who has been born again by the Spirit, born of the water of the word, and no longer living by the flesh, but by the Spirit. You know what no longer living by the flesh is? You can't do what you want. You're not born again. You belong to Christ. You can't say, leave me alone. I'm angry. Hey, are you really born again? Decide. Who's the boss, Christ or you?
Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you, he's talking to you.
I like to do that. Number two. Back to our question. Who is a true biblical disciple of Jesus Christ? Number two, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, point one, let him deny himself. In this age of selfies, self is on the throne. You know, even now when people are going to church, you know, on Sunday, you know, and stuff, and you check their WhatsApp status. You know. We promote self so much, hardly promote Christ. You know all those people who check your WhatsApp, your TikTok and everything? You know you can be discipling them according to Jesus' instruction, go and make disciples. I call it digital evangelism. Here's how you're discipling them. This one is the interesting one. They also like to put their lunch on show. So when the food comes, because they need views. Well, Jesus needs views too. He needs people to view the scriptures. And those in your space might be your discipleship opportunity. Okay, let me leave that. A true disciple denies themselves. Not me, Christ. They deny themselves. Okay? Are you still here?
Yes.
They dethrone self and enthrone Christ. So, left to me alone, I want to bash your head in. Left to me alone. But, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, Father, she don't know how much, just how much she hurt me. So forgive them. Dethrone self and throne Christ. Say amen. Are you with me? All good? A true disciple is one who denies self, that is, dethrones self, enthrones Christ. No longer living by what I think, what I feel, what I want, but what Christ desires. True disciple. It's interesting, everybody is a Christian. But this is the definition. That the disciplometer is testing your discipleship claim. Are you a disciple? If you are, get off the throne and put Christ there. It's no longer what you think. I don't care what you think. What did Christ say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. If your neighbor has need, give it to that. But you don't know how they hurt me. Put self off the throne. Because you're no longer in charge. Decide, are you a disciple or not? Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you. And he continues, take up the cross daily. So you embrace obedience, even when it costs you something. Accepting suffering. You know, in many churches, and especially modern churches, mega churches and stuff, you will hardly hear a sermon on suffering. Christian suffering. As if it's not part of the gospel. The master suffered. Paul is praying, Philippians 3:10. He says, that I may know thee and the power of your resurrection, comma, and the fellowship of your... See, you can't say it loud. I understand. Okay. It's all right. Just breathe. And the fellowship of your... Suffering is part of the journey. There are things you have to do, to go through, because you're a Christian. There are things, self-denial will cost you a little bit of suffering. You can't watch what you want. You can't say what you want. You can't do what you want. Tell your neighbor, application denied. Application to... Fan your neighbor a bit in case they are sweating. Yeah. True disciple. Carry your cross. That's suffering. You know how the disciples died? Peter was crucified upside down. That's how he died. And it was his request. They were crucifying. He said, no, I can't die the way my master died. So turn me upside down. So where they put Jesus' hand, they put his feet and boom, one foot. Where they put that, another foot, nail, boom. Where they put Jesus' feet, they put his head, another nail, zoom. They suffered for the gospel. You know, we have Christianity today because someone decided to put self away and say, whatever the cost, I will say yes. John the Revelator, he was banished to Patmos, an island where he received the book of Revelation. But before he goes there, they boil him in a big pot of hot oil. Yeah, John. And he doesn't die. I'm sure Jesus preserved him because he wanted to give him the final, you know, the final book, the final one. And he comes and says, write to the pastors of the churches and tell them that I have something against you. That I wish you were cold or hot. But you're not cold, you're not hot. You know, so we can't test your discipleship. And he says, tell them I will spit them out of my mouth. Yeah, the words of Jesus, he preserved John to tell him to write to the churches that you're tolerating Jezebel in your church. This is the final instructions. He's gone, he's come back. Now he's testing disciplometer. He's testing their discipleship in the Apocalypse. Saying this will happen. So that test and all the things he said is how it's going to be. Whew. I wish I had time. Let me just move to the next one. So we're still building. A disciple is a born-again, spirit-indwelt, word-shaped, spirit-led, not flesh-led, self-denying, self-dethroning, Christ-enthroning, daily cross-carrying follower of Jesus Christ. Should I say it again? I won't say it again. A born-again Christian, okay, a disciple is, here we go. A born-again Christian who is spirit-indwelt, who is word-shaped, who is spirit-led, who is not flesh-led, who is self-denying, self-dethroning, and Christ-enthroning, daily cross-carrying follower of Jesus Christ. That's a disciple. That's the test. Number three. There's six of them. Because of my time, I need to rush through the three. Back to our question. Who is a true disciple? Number three, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, NKJV. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. So I'll put a full stop there. So a true disciple is a disciple maker. Go and make disciples. Now,
Tap your neighbor gently and say, neighbor. I'm doing that for emphasis. Say, neighbor. Where are your disciples? It's a question. Okay, let's start again. Neighbor. I need you to laugh because the next question won't make you laugh. Neighbor. Jesus said, go and make disciples. I'm gonna assume that you obeyed Christ. And so, where are your disciples? Have you made any? Because if we're making disciples, we won't even fit in this place. Now I'm asking you, where are your disciples? No, the master said, are you with me? Hello?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
The master said, final words, his last commission, he is going, he said a lot. Look at the sermons of Jesus, sermons on the mount, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. You know, do not judge, judge not, lest you be judged for the measure that thou metest unto others, the same measure will be met unto you, you know, and take the flock from your eye. Look at you, so many things he said, you know, and then he dies, he comes back, he said a lot. Now he has an opportunity to say his final instruction. He says, go and make disciples. That was almost 2,000 years ago. After 2,000 years, let's check your obedience meter. How many disciples have you made? Somebody say, I'm still trying to figure out discipleship. They're asking, how many disciples have I made? A true disciple is a disciple maker. He didn't end there baptizing them. A true disciple baptizes his disciples. In the scripture, there are people like Philip who were table service, who were baptizing Ethiopian eunuchs, who were high political, high-ranking politicians. A table server was baptized. It's not a job for pastors. It's a job for disciples. So I'm asking you again, are you a disciple? And then he goes, teaching them. So every disciple is a Bible teacher. If Pastor Deji is not here and he can't call Charles and Elder this and that, can you step up? Or you need 40 days fasting and advance notice? My time's up, so here's what I'm going to do. I'll just tell you the rest. Number 4. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. The writer of Hebrews is rebuking the Hebrew Christians, said by now you should be teachers. So I'm saying to you, Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, everyone under the sound of my voice, by now you should be teachers. You can't sit under teaching and not teach. The disciples sat under teaching for 3.5 years. Then they received 40 days discipleship, prayed 10 days, 40 plus, 10, Penti, the Greek word for 50, Pentecost day came, and Peter debuted his first teaching, and 3,000 souls came to Christ.
3.5 years discipleship with Jesus. He didn't get it because he denied him 3 times after. And then Jesus comes back, disciples them again. And then after 40 days course, and then he says, go and pray 10 days. After 10 days, they test him. And he wins 3,000 souls and starts the first mega church in the book of Acts. 3.5 years, 40 days, 10 days prayer. That was the fruit. Now, how many years have you been sitting here?
I need an answer.
Let me read Hebrews chapter 5:12 to you again. He said, for this is the amplified version, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, because by this time you have had to learn these truths, you actually need someone to teach you all over again the elementary principles of the word from the beginning, and you have come to be continually in need of milk instead of solid food. Are you a feeding bottle Christian, or you are medium rare? T-bone. I wish I had time, and I don't. Okay, let me add the last one. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, the writer of Hebrews, I believe it's Paul, it's still argued. The writer of Hebrews is writing, and then he tells them, you should have left the elementary doctrines by now. And he mentions the list, and the list is scary because those make our usual conferences, conventions, the list, check it. So it means that he's saying that by now you should be teaching advanced doctrine. Bibliology, the study of the Bible, Christology, the study of Christ, theology proper, the study of God, pneumatology, the study of the Spirit, say advanced level. Ecclesiology, the study of the church. You don't know ecclesiology, where purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. Dr. Miles Monroe. People treat church anyhow because, you know, we lack doctrine. Eschatology, the study of the end times. Anybody comes, gives a prophecy about the rapture, and people are selling their cars. This is what I'm saying. It's a lack of discipleship. It's an epidemic of biblical illiteracy, false teachers, false doctrine, false conversions, false discipleship, and false churches. And today I came, Polar Hill Baptist Church, to challenge you. I can't give you the answers. I can only point you in a certain direction. I can only wake you up spiritually in one aspect. I can only provoke you to be a true disciple. Not just a singing one, a true one.